The WLEW News and Public Affairs Department now presents What Do You Think? Here's your host, Craig Routson, with today's topic.
Good morning. Our guest today in the studio, we have Susie Arthur. She is the Senior Services Coordinator through the Human Development Commission in Caro. She's got some seminars coming up for senior citizens, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. Let senior citizens know services that are out there and how they can help you with your quality of life as we all, no one's getting younger, as we all get older.
Right.
Thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Now, there's going to be one in Huron County.
Yes.
And this is coming up Wednesday, August 8th.
Mm-hmm. In Ubley at the high school. It's going to be from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. And we will be providing a catered lunch there.
Ooh, I think you perked up some people.
I know. Nice. I know. Bring food and they will come, right?
And basically, these are for what kind of people? Who do you want to come? Because sometimes you hear of seminars and they're for professionals who deal with people who have senior and aging problems, or is this more for the people on the receiving end, the seniors themselves, caregivers, family members? Which way are you going with this?
Yeah, we're really targeting the community members, people who are 60 years of age or older, or for those people who are caring for a person or have a relative who is 60 years of age or older. The topics are going to be really geared towards information that is pertinent to their situation. So talking about Medicare, Medicaid, long-term care, how do you pay for that, elder law, nutrition, just a lot of different topics that will be really interesting, I would hope, to people in that age group.
I've been hearing, my folks had long-term care coverage, but I understand a lot of that's going away and people are having to learn what is available with what you have.
Right. And long-term care is can be very expensive. So it's important to really talk and before you need it to really understand what's out there and what types of services you might need as you get older. Or, a lot of people say, oh, well, I won't go to long-term care. But we never know what's coming. So I always encourage people to have those conversations while you still can.
And do people have the wrong idea about long-term care? I mean, there are different levels of the services you need. There's simply places where, you get a meal and somebody checks on you, make sure you take your medications and you can socialize with the other people in there. And then there are other facilities that have rehab and other types of things that are more medically involved. So there are different kinds of extended and long-term care.
Definitely. It can be pretty complicated when, especially
too,
if you're in a crisis mode going, we can no longer care for this person at home. We really need to figure something out. And then you're scrambling. So that's why we really wanted to bring speakers in who can talk about that and are experts in that area. Because I see that a lot where I'll get calls from people and they say, I need someplace, tomorrow, and it doesn't really work that quickly.
There has to be an opening, for one thing.
Right.
And up here, we get a lot of people who come up here because they like the area to spend time in. It's not...
And to retire here. Well, a lot of people are retiring up here.
This is home to them.
Yeah. Yep.
And they don't want to go someplace south.
Right. Agreed.
So, do people need to be realistic when this stuff happens? Because there's a tendency, nothing but the best. Maybe you can't afford the best. Maybe you need to find what will work. I mean, there's a reality to this whole thing, too. And these are part of the things I'm sure you're going to go over in the seminar.
Oh, yeah, they'll be discussing a lot of that. Long-term care, depending on what level of care, like you said, you have at the beginning, you may be doing assisted living. But even assisted living can cost you sometimes $4,000 a month.
Depending on the facility and the amenities and things that go on.
Right. Right. But then if you go all the way up to skilled nursing, that could be anywhere from $10,000 to $12,000 a month. Really trying to find out how is that all going to get paid for? When does the state step in? What are your legal rights? What do I do with my assets? All of those kinds of questions that people have. And then also talking about power of attorney for health care, who makes decisions on my behalf when I'm no longer able to make decisions.
And can I make decisions ahead of time?
And we call it putting your ducks in a row.
Because, you know, you can do the thing where, you know, I don't want extreme measures types of things taken if there's a problem. But unless there's a signed thing that the doctors and the people have, you know, it's what the family wants at the time, because you can't speak for yourself at that point, and your wishes may not be the way you wanted them to be, so you got to be very specific and very sure that what you want done is done.
Right, and it's difficult for the family members if they don't already know, or if they don't have that legal right to make decisions for you, then you have to go through the court system, and that can get costly too. So I really encourage people to come to hear what we're going to be talking about, because I think it's information to get those conversations started with your family members.
And are there steps, you know, you can learn without having to go to an attorney to do some of this stuff? You know, like getting your name into your parents' bank accounts and such, so that if anything happens, at least you can continue to pay the bills, you can pay the mortgage and stuff until you get the house sold and stuff. These types of things can be a real headache if you can't access and you know it's there.
Correct. And they'll be explaining a lot of that about what's the difference between a power of attorney, you know, for your finances, your power of attorney for health care. Should I have people on a joint account, or should I just make them able to access those funds? And each situation is going to be different. You can get the basics.
It can be as simple as talking to your bank.
Right.
Because I know when I've gone through Signature, Talmer, and Chemical Bank and go through all these things, and they want to know, you know, if something happens to you, who this goes to. And you give them a name, and then if anything happens to me, they can go to the bank. I'm this person. Here's a Social Security number, and get access and, you know, pay my funeral or whatever else they need to do.
Right.
You know, so it's not a hardship on them.
And so, you know, a lot of people focus on end of life without really thinking about maybe those last few years before end of life.
And
that's where things can get a little complicated and murky. So, but those are conversations that are sometimes hard to have. We don't really want to talk about, you know, the possibility that someone may get to a point where they can no longer stay at home, or where they may need care in the home. But that's also, you know, with Human Development Commission, we will have our vendors there. We'll have all of our different programs with tables set up so that they can find out what services are available to help them, you know, in their home as well.
But people don't like to think about the end of the road, so they avoid wills and powers of attorney and things like that. Is it important to get people thinking so that, you know, anything can happen? You have a car accident. I mean, I could have one going home today. I mean, these things happen. To have something in place, because all you're going to end up doing is making it more difficult for your survivors.
Yes. Anyone should have those things set up. I'm 38, and I should have all of that put together, because, like you said, I could leave here and have an accident. Nobody knows really what's coming down the road. No, hopefully not.
We're being hypocritical here.
I definitely hope that's not going to happen. But, you know, I try to tell people, you know, age isn't necessarily a factor in all of that. You should really be thinking about this at any age.
But people tend to want to deny the fact that there's going to be an end. You're feeling good now, it's going to continue forever. Not necessarily.
Right.
You don't know what's going to happen down the road, short-term or long-term, and it's best to have a few plans in place just to make it easier on you when this stuff happens. You know it's covered. You know it's you know, what you want being done will be done. And
peace of mind.
Yeah. You can concentrate on getting well, not on what you have to
all
do
the,
in case
all the
you
paperwork
don't get
and
well.
The finances and, yes.
And paperwork is stressful enough.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
without being sick in the middle of it.
Right.
Okay. Some of the things you're going to be talking about is nutrition. Now, people, as they get older, they think, well, you know, you eat healthy when you're young. I'm old. I'm going to eat what I want. There are consequences to how you eat and how you feel.
Always.
How it's going to affect your health and all of that. So these are important things. And your nutritional needs change as you get older, because
You're on more medication.
Well, and you're not as active. Maybe you need to reduce in some areas and increase in others, so you get the vitamins and nutrients, and you're
right.
getting all the fat and the calories. All
right.
these types of things that have to be in balance.
Exactly. You have medication interactions that are going to change how you absorb your nutrition, and your metabolism is changing. So you do need to think about your nutrition and the types of food that you're putting into your body. So we will have someone there who will be discussing that, talking about, how to be the healthiest that you can. Because anything you can do on your end to keep yourself healthy just means that you get to be at home, living healthy, independent for longer.
Taste and smell goes with food, and that's one of our strongest sensory links into our brain.
Right.
I mean, and as you get older and you may be not feeling as well, you'd be looking for more comfort food, which may not necessarily be good for you food.
Yes, unfortunately. Our comfort foods usually go hand in hand with not being good or healthy. But
they can also slow you down as you're eating. Just by eating them, rather than just age and being older and your body slowing down, they can have a direct, cycle into that.
Right. I think, if you get used to eating some of the healthier foods, your body will start to get used to that, and then you will find that you start to crave that, and you don't crave some of those comfort foods as much. I mean, I'm guilty of it myself. I like sugar and high carb.
Who doesn't? Built that way because we needed it when we didn't have it all available so much.
Right. So it can be hard to make those changes, and I just encourage people to try to take it one step at a time. Our home delivered meal program is a great way to get that good balanced nutrition for people.
You need to take cooking as like a challenge, because you are used to maybe cooking for a whole family. Now it's down to two or maybe one.
Yes.
And you don't want to go through all of this just to have a whole refrigerator full of leftovers, because I only know how to make it big.
Right.
For like a Thanksgiving dinner type of thing.
Right. And living alone, people have a tendency to eat more sandwiches, maybe scramble some eggs, do things that are very quick because of that. Because how do you cook for one person? So learning how do I nutritionally and get all of my food groups.
And even when you go to the store, it isn't easy, because most of the things are in packages, because most people need them for
right.
more than one person or two that are elderly and maybe don't have
right.
huge appetites. And you feel like you're giving a whole lot of waste to this.
Right. And cooking, takes a lot of coordination. It takes a lot of physical ability that we don't really think about until maybe your hand isn't working as well as it used to be able to move that pot off of the stove, or I need to be able to time things out a certain way, so it becomes more difficult. So it becomes easier to just take a meal and pop it into the microwave, but now you've got high sodium,
but you're not as agile as you used to be. You can burn yourself in the oven. There are all
right.
kinds of things that mitigate back and forth.
Right. Yep. So
nutrition is going to be one of the lessons you talk about.
Absolutely. Yep. Having someone there who can help to find those recipes that can work for a one or two person household, helping and encouraging people to eat for their health.
They're not going to be just pushing kale.
No, I don't think so.
Sometimes you see
I'm laughing because I got onto the kale kick for a while, making my green smoothies for quite a while. So that's funny.
You say that in the past tense, so.
Yeah, we kind of got off of that. My husband didn't think that was a good idea.
Kaled out?
I think my husband got a little kaled out, yes.
Okay. You're going to be talking about elder law, which
mm-hmm.
There are particular things in the law that elders, seniors need to know about.
Right.
That can help them not only, afterlife things and in how you want things to go, but how you're doing now today. There are things, I handled my dad's finances for a while when he was in assisted living, and there were certain things he couldn't invest in anymore. They were too high risk. You know, when they were seniors, they had to be less risk. And,
sure.
And then you would say at 30 where you could still be working and make it up.
Sure.
Because the laws didn't want you to lose it all.
Sure.
So there are different laws available sometimes for seniors that you may need to know about.
Right. And knowing the difference between do I need a trust, what's a will, where am I... assets going to go when I'm gone? How do I make sure that my family is taken care of? Especially you've got farmers with a lot of property and it can get really complicated. So
it's a whole lot more than when my mom went through the condo and just put labels on the bottom of everything. This goes to Craig. This goes to my other sister.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. You know, if you don't have anything in place, the courts do have something set up, you know, but then you're going through the probate. So again, just talking to someone who is an expert in that field will help you to make those decisions.
You don't have to pay for it at that time because they'll be sitting there for you. And then if you need extra, you can contract with somebody you want.
Right. Right.
They can give you the basics. And if you think you need more, or you need some paperwork done or something, someone else you can find that will get it done for you.
Right. They're going to be covering the basics of what a person may need for putting something into a trust, putting something into a will, understanding that power of attorney, understanding all of those things, just give you a basic idea. But if you need, you know, once you hear all of that, each individual obviously would need to
and where
go
to,
in.
Where to put this documentation. You throw
right.
it all in a safe deposit box when somebody you're out of the, you know, unable to respond, can't go down to the bank and get it, nobody else can either.
Right.
You got to have it in an accessible place, secure. You don't want to lose it or anything else, but you've got to find a way to keep it accessible so when you need it, it's there and not a hindrance to get it.
And you need to do a checkup every so often on it. You know, laws change, so you mm-hmm. could have something in place. You say, oh, well, I did that 10 years ago. Well, things have changed, so it's always good to go, you know, every couple years to 3 years and just have the documents looked at to make sure that everything is still good. And then, you know, your situation changes. Maybe I had a son that I had things that he was going to be the primary, but the situation has changed, or he was married at that time and now he's no longer married.
So you take the... You may have new grandkids that you want to have all your grandkids
right.
involved in this. And if the paperwork only says these five and you've got eight now, you know.
Yeah,
unless
exactly.
the whole family agrees, and even then it might be tough, you know. You want to make sure that things are up to date these ways.
You'd be surprised how much difference opinion there is when it comes to finances and who gets what. So it is important to make your wishes very clearly set out. So again, that's why we picked that topic, because you know we hear a lot of people wanting to know more about that, and there's a lot of confusion surrounding it. So we thought, let's bring in an expert who can clarify some of that.
A lot of this kicks in with the last parent. When the first parent goes, a lot of it just crosses over to the surviving spouse.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a little paperwork they're going to have to take care of to, you know, get their name onto everything properly
mm-hmm.
and such. But for the most part, the married part of it isn't the problem. It's when it goes beyond that.
Right, right. And family members and who gets what and how is that going to be dispersed.
If you got charities you want certain things to go to or whatever.
Right. And then a lot of people have that concern, you know, because like we were talking about before, the long-term care can be very expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And I've saved up this money that I'd like my children to have, and then is all of that going to be taken for my care if I have to go into a long-term care? So, you know, they address that a little bit, and how is that paid for?
Well, and you need to talk to the kids too. You know,
mm-hmm.
your care is more important than
mm-hmm.
this because you earned it.
Exactly. It's your money, so you need to use it
for what you needed it for. That's why you work so hard
exactly.
all your life.
Yep. Use it for what you need to.
And then what's left, you know, be happy to share.
But I will have some people who will say, well, I'm saving this for, you know, later. And I try to tell them, well, I think, you know, later has come. It's time to maybe use some of those funds.
Well, and if there's a very particular thing, the attorneys can help you set up a trust or something for
mm-hmm.
that. It's specifically earmarked. It'll generate its own funds. And that's totally separate from everything else. The lawyers can tell you how to do this.
Right. So if you have a dependent adult child who maybe was born with a disability
mm-hmm.
or who developed a disability down the road and you need to make sure that they're taken care of. You know, those are things that you have to think about too, is how do I set aside money for that loved one who is going to need maybe more care after I'm gone.
And they may know things about programs. I know there's like MyAble out there, which allows you to have an account for somebody on disability and stuff to a certain extent. Doesn't affect their benefits, but you can help start investing so that when you're gone, they have something beyond just
right.
Medicaid.
Right. Yeah. I'm not familiar with that one, so I'll have to look up some more information on that one.
We had a release on it a while back that said there was $5 million in investments in it already. And so
okay.
It sounded like a good program. My niece has MS, and I sent it to my sister, so she said, oh, this would look good, you know, because yeah. We were worried when they're gone, you know, that my nephew would have to keep giving her money, but if she can have her own account, and they can even have a debit card with it for certain things, so
great.
You know, it allows them to keep on the program and not have to be totally destitute to
yeah.
do it.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Okay, the other thing you're going to be talking about is, of course, Medicare and Medicaid. People get that so confused. Part A, Part D, part all this stuff, what do you need? Hopefully, before you get onto the program, you've determined what you really need. But then there's supplemental after that. Do you need that? How much do you need? All these types of things, and they all cost money.
Yes, it is very confusing. And I've been a social worker now for a little over a decade, and I still don't have all the ins and outs.
It changes all the time. It's like hitting a moving goalpost. It's moving all the time.
You know, and I have a lot of people who don't understand. Is Medicare the one for people who are older, or is it Medicaid, and who qualifies for what? And
and is disability different than Medicaid?
Right, and who qualifies for what? So getting some clarification on that for people, and especially for caregivers who find themselves now trying to go through paperwork that they don't really understand. So coming in and hearing, you know, how your parents or your loved ones
and a lot of
benefits
stuff
are being
to
paid
be done
for
online today, which makes it even
yes.
more difficult because you don't have a face to talk to.
Yes.
We do have the Social Security link up at the courthouse, can give you a face to face with someone. They'll be downstate in Port Huron and you'll be here talking, but at least you can act back and forth, ask questions
right.
as you're trying to figure out what to do. But a lot of this can be difficult because we're getting away from the face to face and more of the internet and
very
papers.
Much. Yep. And you know, you can be very well versed in how to use on the internet and to find things online, and it can still be confusing. And you think, I just want to pick up my phone and talk to a person, a real person who's going to help me through this.
And you get to the end where it says submit, and did I get it all right? Is it all going to be okay? Did I just sign away everything?
Right. So having someone who has been trained and understands the nuances of those programs, I think, is really helpful. And just to get a little bit of clarification, like you said, on what is Part A, what's Part B, how do I pay for Part D, do I have to have Part D, what's the donut hole, and all of those questions.
All those little things they've come up with to call things that are just basically money.
Yes. Yes. You can call it a donut hole. Doesn't make it any more appealing, I don't think.
Because donut hole, there's nothing in the middle of a donut, but
right.
You're going to be paying something.
Yes.
You also mentioned before the show you're going to have an audiologist out there.
Yeah. Region 7, the Area Agency on Aging, is the one who is sponsoring this program. We got the funding for these seminars through them, and they are providing an audiologist who will be doing hearing checks for people.
I'm sure they can explain to you if there is something with your insurance or with your Medicare. They don't buy them every 2 years, but you may be, if you haven't gotten one and you need one, they may be able to help in a little way.
Yes.
Things to keep you interactive with other people, to
mm-hmm.
catch the conversation, because the thing that keeps the mind going is the back and forth interaction.
Right. Yep. Your senses, your eyesight, your hearing, all of those are really important for keeping your mind active.
And they're not as obtrusive as they used to be. People used to see those things and you have the thing hanging in your pocket and look like you were listening to a transistor radio or something. They're not that way
anymore. No, a lot of people, I even have to ask them if they have a hearing aid because they're so small that you don't really see them. So,
and my dad had 3 taps on there. One was for if you were close hearing, one if you were outside, and another that, you know, they were different equalization, I guess you'd call it, as you know, the sound that cut out different frequencies so the wind noise isn't so bad.
Oh.
or you can pick up conversations inside better, and it, you know, it was nice. I mean, you could use it, but sometimes when you're older, you don't like to play with the gadgets like you do when you're young.
No, right.
I thought it was neat. He was just like, okay.
He's like, I just want to put it in and be able to hear. So
those are fancy ones. You're not likely to get that through Medicare, but you will have something that at least you can hear your grandkids when they'd say, Grandma, Grandpa.
Right. Yep. And being able to hear your family members when you go to church, being able to hear the pastor, when people call you on the phone, all of those things are a real struggle if you're not able to hear. So,
and the new ones are made so they do work better with phones. The magnets in the old phones used to play tricks on them, but now they seem to work pretty well.
Oh, good. I hadn't really heard anything about
that.
Well, the
old handset phones had a great big magnet on the end of it.
And
little speakers and magnets don't really go together.
No.
But they seem to be doing better with that stuff. So you're going to have the audiologist out there. Are they going to actually be testing you or just give you a quick test to say maybe you need to see somebody?
You know, in a setting like this, I wouldn't think it will be a full test, but they probably will do that preliminary to let you know if you need, you know, a full checkup.
Maybe piece of paper you get with a chart that says you're not hearing this part of this part, and
right,
you know, this is where the voices come in, and that's why you're having difficulty when
right,
you're not hearing things.
Right. You know, I'm not sure how in depth they will get, but I do know they're going to be doing a pretty good checkup on people.
Can't be too in depth, or you'll never have time.
Right.
It'll take a little while to do.
And then we are working on hopefully getting a podiatrist. I don't have anyone set up just yet, but that is something that we are working on, trying to get a podiatrist there as well to check people's feet and make sure things are going okay there too.
And the older you get, the more problems you have. You start wearing things out, and you know, we've kind of hopefully through nutrition helped a lot with not getting gout and stuff, but there's still occasionally that. And there's, you know, with diabetes, you can have problems with your feet and such, and
you need to
catch it early, so it's more difficult to get it back than to prevent yourself from
right, and
it.
Physically it's hard to get down there to even just trim your toenails or do your own, you know, day-to-day foot care, because, you know, reaching down there or getting your foot up where you can get to it, it becomes more difficult as your back starts to hurt, your legs start to hurt, you get arthritis, you have different things going on. So
now, this whole event is free, but you need to pre-register?
Yes. That just helps us to know how many people will be there, so because
we
are
lunch.
Catering.
We're catering
the lunch, so we need to know how many people we should be expecting. And then we are going to be having drawings for some pretty nice door prizes. Lift chair, we're going to have some TVs,
wow,
tablets, and then everyone will be getting a gift bag. Just for attending. So it's really going to be a nice day, 4 hours of your day, but you'll be going home with a lot of good information, a time
sure
of socializing.
Sure, there'll be plenty of handouts and stuff, you know, with
the phone numbers.
You don't have to jot them all down. You can just take the information you want to make sure you contact someone about.
Yep. We'll have all of the information. We'll have the different people, different programs from Human Development Commission who will be there with their own personal information. So you should be leaving with a pretty good resource guide at the end of it.
Now, we've talked a lot about the medical part of it, but you do other things to help seniors with HDC. You have a weatherization program, helps to insulate the house so your heating bills aren't so bad and you're not forced out of your home because you can't afford to heat it. Used to be in the old days, maybe you went out and you chopped wood and you did all kinds of things. You can't do that now, and you're heating now with well, you're not going out to the back 40 and getting your heat.
Right. You're doing propane or you have your gas or electric. Yeah. Yeah, we have our weatherization programs. We have our utility programs that can help people who are getting behind on their utility payments. We have programs for people who are finding themselves without housing, so homeless programs. We have senior-specific programs, so the home-delivered meals, house cleaning, help with personal care, transportation. We have our adult day services. We have our caregiver support program.
And these are just supplemental programs to keep you in your home.
Right.
It isn't, somebody's just trying to get you out of your own house. There are a lot of programs that can maybe keep you in there for a number of years, which is better for you, better for you folks, because, it is, more cost effective to just bring Meals on Wheels and maybe someone to check up on someone once in a while than to put them in a assisted living type of facility right. When they really may not need it.
Right. Definitely living at home is a win-win. It's good to stay at home for your emotional well-being, but it's also more cost-effective to the state to have somebody getting supplemental services at home.
And we were talking a little bit before the program, things like the home-delivered meals. Somebody is coming to your home many days a week, so there's somebody who just knows you're still doing okay.
Yes, it's a checkpoint for someone, and if you don't answer your door during a scheduled time for the meals to be dropped off, then we as an agency will check in to make sure that you are okay. If we can't get a hold of you, we go through the chain of emergency contact, but we will at some point find out what's going on.
Because, you hear the commercials, I've fallen and I can't get up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we kind of see it. Yeah. It happens.
It happens. Oh, definitely it happens. We've seen it happen, so.
And people who do come regularly, and as I understand it, correct me if I'm wrong, when you get Meals on Wheels, you get a hot meal right for that point, and then I believe there's a cold meal for the end of the day. It's not just one.
Right. You get a cold lunch that you can either, some people will eat that cold light lunch for the right then and save the hot meal for later in the day and reheat it later in the day. And we deliver.
A lot of people think noon is supper though. So.
Right. They get those hot meals Monday through Thursday. And then they also get a frozen meal for over the weekend. So you have a meal that you can warm up for the days that you don't have somebody coming right to the door.
And people shouldn't be afraid to ask for this type of help.
I would hope not.
I know we grow up independent and I've never relied on the government for anything, but if you need it, it's there. Well, people in this county have voted continuously since it first started for the senior citizen millage, which helps to pay for some of these meal programs like the congregate meals
yes. In
town here, and then Meals on Wheels and all this other stuff. You call it home delivered.
I do.
Meals on Wheels is a kind of a brand name out
yes. There.
But, these services, everybody wants people who can use them, needs them
yeah.
to take advantage of them, because we don't want to sit there and think while we're having lunch that somebody might be going hungry. We
yeah.
want everybody to, who's worked hard all their lives and at this point, maybe just need a little help to stay in their home to get it.
Right, and it goes back to that nutrition that we were talking about earlier, that just getting a good, well-balanced meal where you're getting all of your food groups will help bring your health up. So maybe you only need them for a short amount of time after a hospital stay to get your strength back up and get you back into, your normal routine. And then other people may need it for long term because they have a chronic illness that is preventing them from being able to cook,
or
good,
get out,
nutritious
to go to
meals.
Or the congregate meal site to have some interaction. They're kind of homebound,
right.
You still can be in your home and,
right.
and get good meals.
But you get good nutrition and you'll start to see all of your functioning doing better, physical and your mental state. Because your food that you put into your body really does have a lot to do with how you're going to function.
It amazes me sometimes that people are resistant to this, as being a senior, but yet they want to help kids with hunger programs,
yeah.
in the school, supplemental payment of the school lunches, and even they're doing it over the summertime to help kids because you don't want to see them go hungry. We don't want to see anybody go hungry.
No, we shouldn't see anybody going hungry.
Not in a county with this much agriculture.
Right.
I mean, we're feeding a lot more than our county here, and you would think that we should at least be able to make sure our own county is fed.
Yeah, and I think, too, there's some misconception about what types of meals these are, and I have some people who remember the meals from, you know, decades ago.
They sound like old school lunches.
Right, and things are, you know, they...
today and hamburgers tomorrow. And...
they make great meals. Really, the home-delivered meals that come to your house are fantastic. Our cooks do a really good job. I've worked in the kitchen a few times, and it's phenomenal what they are able to do at the kitchen and how many meals they actually provide out in the county.
And there are standards for nutrition.
Yep, we have a nutritionist who has to check off on it.
If you're getting funding like we do through
Region 7,
which is federal, there's
oh yeah,
you have to cross through.
Definitely, you have to make sure that they're getting so many vegetables, so many fruits, dairy. They have to hit all five food groups in every meal, and then a certain percentage of those. And then you also have to make it so that it's healthy, you know, so these aren't going to be high sodium meals. They're not going to be high fat meals. They're not going to be real high carb meals. They are going to have carbs, but
you can't stop them when they're sitting at home alone. Get the salt shaker out, but
no, but we won't. It will come in very healthy. What you do to it after it gets in your house is your business. But yes, we provide them as a very good, heart healthy, low sodium, and good for people who have diabetes as well.
And I'm sure that you folks, if people have special dietary problems, can help to accommodate them, try to.
Yes. So if you have certain specific allergies then we just have to have something from your doctor stating that, and then we can accommodate that, and they'll substitute something in different. So the peanut allergy can be a little tricky.
Because you never know what it's all in.
But right. I mean, but that would be something that you'd want to talk to with your caseworker when they come out to sign you up for the service.
And the one thing we talked about beforehand as well, confidentiality. You don't come with a big van out in front that says Meals on Wheels or home-delivered meals.
Right.
Nobody really, your neighbors aren't going to necessarily know. There's just somebody checking up on you and happens to bring you a gift every day.
Right. We are held to all of the same standards that your doctors, anyone is, that we do not share your information without your permission and your consent to do so. And we are very strict with that. We would never let anyone know what services you're getting.
The only thing you do is statistics to report back to the feds,
right,
that these are how many people we're serving, this is, you know, what it cost. And,
right. And that's all to help with funding, you know, because we want to be able to provide these services in the future.
If you don't show a demand or a need, you're not going to get a check
exactly.
Next year.
Exactly. Yep. So, yeah, there is, I'm glad you brought that up, because, yeah, there is a little bit of hesitancy thinking, oh, well, I'm going to be in the system now, or everyone's going to know that I'm asking for help, and no.
But the system can be good as well. They can see a need when they come to your house and maybe recommend, why don't you try this type of service that's out there, and, you know, contact your caseworker and see what they can arrange.
Right.
Because, you know, the house isn't being kept up as well, or you're wearing the same clothes for 5 days. Maybe you need someone to help with the laundry or something. There are programs, not just through HDC, but you guys all work together.
Right.
To help the seniors, and you try not to be redundant, not all offering the same services
exactly.
Over and over again, so you know when, you know, you can go maybe to the health department or somebody else who has a service that might work, and they know to go to you.
Yep, and our job, our caseworkers, when they go out, their job is to make sure that they are getting the right services. So it might not be Human Development Commission services that are right for that particular person, and maybe there's a different community program, but it's our job to know all of the different resources that are available out there for a person and make sure that you're getting the right care.
Is there a resource directory or something online that people can maybe get a start? I mean, they get the HDC number there, they get the health department, they get, you know, behavioral health if they're having behavioral problems with dementia and such. All of these services, you know, is there like a first place to start?
There is a resource booklet that circulates, and you get all of them handed out usually at the senior fairs, that give you like a really good guide on all of the different types of services that are available in your community. And those come through the Senior Coalition. But usually the Senior Fair Committees are working to put those together. I always encourage people to call Region 7, mm-hmm. your area agency on aging out of Bay County, because they're a pretty good starting point for wanting to know what services there are, and then they will kind of funnel you out to the appropriate place. Mm-hmm. But then Human Development Commission is always, you know, you call us, we'll figure out.
We'll find somebody who
can help you.
And figure out what would work for you.
Yep.
Now, some of the programs are based on ability to pay. There are sometimes have income guidelines in some programs, not all of them. So you'd have to know, you know, which ones you're going for. The meals, I think that's pretty much a given.
The meal program.
Like the weatherization, if you could afford it yourself, I believe there's like an income guideline in there that, you know, we're not here just to save you money that you have flowing out of the bank and into the carpeting and everything else. It's designed to help people who can't afford it.
Right. Some services within Human Development Commission are income-based, and then some are not, and they're more based on your physical need for the service. So the home-delivered meal programs, the house cleaning, the personal care, things like that, we don't have an income guideline that says you can't get it if mm-hmm. you're over this income. But we do prioritize our services, so people with the highest level of need will get a priority. But that's based on income, your available assistance through family and friends, what is your physical limitation, what is your mental limitation, all of that's taken into account. So,
and if your needs change, contact to make sure, you know, we can try and meet them.
Right, we're always checking in.
Services pop up all the time. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, they're whatever funds come available can pop up a new service. It's not really necessarily for seniors, but I understand HDC has a lead abatement program they're mm-hmm. working on now. I mean, these are, you may not think of calling there if you have that, but there are some programs out there for all kinds of things.
Right.
And the resources are there. You should use them.
Yeah, and that's why we're doing this seminar, because we really want people to see the variety of services that Human Development Commission offers in the community. So many times you use one service and you don't realize that the same agency is also providing the other service that you heard about. So we're really trying to do this so that you can get a feel for how much is actually out there to be able to help you.
I'd like to thank you for being with us.
Yeah.
Our guest today has been Susie Arthur. She is written right here, Senior Services Coordinator through the Human Development Commission. Again, the seminar is in Ubley, Wednesday, August 8th, 9 a.m. until 2 p.m., Ubley High School. Stop out. There's a lot of information and a free lunch in the middle.
Yeah, and if they could call, we've got the 1-800
number there. 1-800-843-6394. If you have questions or if you'd like to register for the event, they need to know how many are coming so they have a meal for you.
Yeah.
Thanks for being
here. All right. Thank you.
Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll clue you in on all the latest in the news here at WLEW.